Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your host, Jay and Trey.
You got the Kings of Non Sequitur. This is the off-season version of our regular podcast, which is called In Much Less Detail, the podcast. You are here live with us on a Tuesday night, June the 22nd, 2021. I'm Dre. He's Jay. The red-hot summer of freedom keeps rolling along here in America. We went from winter to summer pretty much like that. I don't know what happened to spring. Most of your country feels like that, at least I believe. But yeah, we're rolling along, and we decided to get in a little show to look at some of the sports news going on in the sports world. We've got some things going on in all of the sports that's a little interesting to both of us. Kind of touches on some of our favorite teams, touches on some of our players that we have monetary interest in. So we'll get to all of that coming up. Jay, long time no talk. How's it going?
Good. Doing good. What was the last show? Was when we had the football fan rush people on. So you and I didn't really get to do, we didn't really talk too much on that last show. So it's been a while since we've actually done one of these. So there's a lot to go over. A lot of things are always happening, and we're about halfway. We're almost halfway through our summer now. And well, I mean, as far as halfway through our off season, I should say,
right.
You know. It's sort of our summer vacation. You know, summer actually started yesterday officially. Just to, you know, you talk about the summer of heat, and I wore a sweater to work yesterday.
Well, I said in most parts of the country,
yeah.
Not all.
We barely made it out of the 50s here yesterday.
Well, yeah, it's always like that up there where you guys are, up almost in the Yukon, it feels like, but. Now, down here in the Mid-South, oh, man, one of the days that I got in the car after work and the thermometer said 103.
Yeah,
and
no.
I was like, oh, man.
You can have that. You can. I've lived through it down there. Have it.
I don't want it. air was so thick I could barely breathe. It just came out of nowhere. Like, it was going along in the 70s and maybe touching 80 every now and then, and then all of a sudden, 103.
Oh, okay. No. Well, not for me.
Well, you're not used to it.
That's right. My people aren't made for the heat.
Exactly. Yeah, so there's a lot in sports as always. I don't even know which way you wanted to start. There's some different directions we can take, and all I know is we're going to look up and the arrow will be gone.
Right, and we'll not have talked about half the things that you had in the show description. So you'll have to go back and edit it afterwards because
exactly.
these things seem to have a life of their own.
And it reminds me, before we even get into anything, if you're one of those that listens live and doesn't know exactly about the podcast version, it happens. You might be a new listener. If you are, welcome in. Thanks for joining us. Might be coming off of the of recommendation from the Football Fan Rush Radio people. We always have a lot of fun with Cass and Renard, and man, that last show was a real barn burner. And even got the last like 30 minutes chopped off. It was even longer than you think. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. If you're here live and you notice that we end after 60 minutes and you go, man, they were right in the middle of something. What happened to that conversation? Well, guess what? It continues. There is some weird thing that Blog Talk Radio does where it sort of allows us to keep recording for about another hour or so after the live show is over. So we've gotten used to that over the years. We call it our after show, and that's available on the podcast version. If you go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes or anywhere you listen to your podcasts, and search for In Much Less Detail, the podcast, you would get the episode in its entirety, the live portion that you're listening to now, and also whatever we record in the after show. That's only available in the podcast version of the show. But for the live portion, for the 60 minutes or 55 minutes, you got us now live, and you can, of course, call in because we're live if you want to. Our phone number, if you're listening live, of course, you're on blogtalkradio.com/inmuchlessdetail. That's the only place to listen to us live on that website. The guest phone number is on that site. It's 646-595-4534. We're always open to callers unless you're crazy or got some sort of agenda. But, of course, I realize I'm asking for it by pointing that out. But anyway, we're open. We're, you know, we discuss anything. We talk about anything. And anything that's anyone on anyone's mind, you can call in and bring that up if you want. But, yeah, we'll get into the things that interest us and whatever comes along. That's why we're the kings of non sequitur. We'll just go from point to point to point. And we may get to the points that we want to get to, or we may not, because we're kings of non sequitur and we just kind of do what we want to do. Was there anywhere you wanted to start specifically?
Not really. It's been a while. So, you know, it's been a while since we've done one of these. So we've got, you put some topics up on the, up on the show page, and I asked you a couple, you know, yesterday when you texted me, we're like, well, let's do a show. I'm like, all right, great. What do you want to talk about? And you kind of threw a couple of topics at me. So I will let you pick, because I, you know, where we start generally has no impact on where we finish.
This is true. The interesting thing that, that I've seen on, social media right before the show began was what's been happening specifically to one pitcher tonight in service of this new rule that Major League Baseball has instituted. Yep. So I guess we'll talk about that. Max Scherzer is getting a bit of the stop and frisk. He apparently has been checked like no less than three times during his start for the Washington Nationals. So just yesterday it began the situation where baseball umpires are now doing the stop and frisk to pitchers to see if they have substances on their person, on their equipment, in their hats or whatever that might help them get a better grip on the baseball, get more spin on the baseball. And there's, of course, info out there about that everywhere. MLB.com story says that under the new guidelines, any pitcher who possesses or applies foreign substances in violation of the rules will be ejected from the game and automatically suspended in accordance with the rules and past precedent. That would be a 10-game suspension. And typically the inspections will take place between innings or during pitching changes to give the umpires ample time to perform a thorough check without delaying the game. I've been seeing some stuff on social media that indicates that maybe is not going so well as far as not delaying the game and not making a spectacle of the whole thing. And Scherzer's, you know, facials and reactions have been great as well. Like, he's just kind of throwing his hands up like, really, we're doing this again? Really, really again, we're doing this. So your thoughts in general about the whole thing, about the rule, and what is this in service of? What's the point, and what's it going to look like in the future? Like, where is all this going?
My suspicion is this is the knee-jerk reaction to the fact that we've had something like 75 no-hitters already this season.
77, if you count the seven inning ones.
Right. And that hitting has been way down, and MLB, I think, is take – because this is – first of all, two reasons I don't like this. One, you don't want to give umpires a bigger head than you've already given them. And these guys are terrible. And two, you don't do something like this mid-season. You don't get into almost the 4th of July and then go, oh, we're cracking down on this, so we're going to start doing this now, so you guys better watch out. This feels like the NFL point of emphasis, right? You know, where you go into the season and there's going to be that new rule that they're really going to enforce. And, and for the first 2 weeks, the refs, like, way overcall everything, and everybody kind of rolls their eyes at it. And then by midseason, nobody cares about it anymore. I'm almost defending that way of doing things, because this one makes no sense to me that you're starting it at this point. I mean, was somebody tipped off? Was there something going on? It seems really odd that we would get at this point in the season. And yeah, it sounds like it's been a spectacle a few times already.
Already, just started yesterday.
Right.
the statement from the esteemed commissioner of baseball, our favorite guy, Rob Manfred, said, quote, after an extensive process of repeated warnings without effect, gathering information from current and former players and others across the sport, 2 months of comprehensive data collection, listening to our fans, and thoughtful deliberation, I have determined that new enforcement of foreign substances is needed to level the playing field. I understand there's a history of foreign substances being used on the ball, but what we are seeing today is objectively far different, with much tackier substances being used more frequently than ever before. It has become clear that the use of foreign substance has generally morphed from trying to get a better grip on the ball into something else, an unfair competitive advantage that is creating a lack of action and an uneven playing field, unquote.
So, hitting sucks, right? The hitting sucks. These guys, well, you've got all these guys, batting averages are way down. These guys can't beat shifts, right? No, nobody, you know. So let's try to stimulate some offense. Let's alter what all of these pitchers are doing. We've already had some injuries come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But yeah, this sounds like a reaction to the fact that it seems like there's a no-no watch every other day. And I'm not exaggerating. That we're
going to be
seventh, eighth inning, and I've got my MLB app, and I'm getting notifications on my phone about some guy who's into the eighth inning of a game and hasn't given up a hit yet. And you're like, what, again? Really?
Spencer Turnbull, shout out. Who?
Yeah, just randos throwing no-hitters out there now.
It's crazy. Yes, the league batting average is sub underwater. It's just like as low as it's been in some 40, 50 years. And so that statement by Manfred makes it seem like it wasn't necessarily out of the blue, that it was something that they were really studying and working hard to let everybody know, hey, we might have to do something because we're warning you guys. It's getting a little crazy with these spin rates and nobody can seem to hit anything. And finally, they just said, okay, to heck with it, we're just going to start busting everybody. And you had your fair warning, so get ready. We're about to change everything in the middle of the season. And, yeah, I completely agree with your point about something that the National Football League might do, something like this to sort of change the game and goose offense and get ratings. And, of course, it's all about getting more people to watch and getting higher ratings. But this isn't something they would pull out in the middle of the season. This is not something they will wait till week six and say, hey, by the way, we're changing everything that you're doing and you need to get ready. This is just out of left field, to borrow a baseball cliche. And yes, it has definitely affected someone that you like a lot and have a financial interest in, and I like a lot. Our guy Tyler Glasnow, starting pitcher on your fantasy team, had some very choice words about how he thinks he got hurt because of this situation where you're telling guys, okay, however you've been doing it, stop and do it a whole different way.
Right, because it caused a change in grip and – you know, basically his whole point was that he was still able to get the results, but he had to hold the ball deeper in his hand and it caused him to, you know, torque a different way. And apparently the culprit in that case was, I believe, suntan lotion was the culprit.
He says that he's only used sunscreen and rosin for grip. He's never used anything for better spin. He says, my hands are so big, I don't really need more spin. I do very fine with spin as it is, but he had to stop using the sunscreen and rosin before his Tuesday, June 8th start against the Washington Nationals in advance of this new stop and frisk rule that he knew was coming, that he knew was going to start soon. So he said he pitched fine in that game, but afterwards he felt some pain in places he didn't know he could feel pain.
Yes.
And then his next start was against the Chicago White Sox, and he felt something pop, and that would be the ulnar collateral ligament, which is not a good thing.
Any CL's not good. I guess he's on a six. I guess they're saying he could be 6-8 weeks, and then he should be able to resume throwing. So I guess it wasn't the bad one, but he had this a couple of years ago where he opted away from Tommy John and decided to rehab instead. So far, he's managed to avoid the knife.
Right. It's not something that most guys do when they get that UCL. They usually go ahead and get the Tommy John. But it does happen every now and then that some guys decide to choose to rehab it and maybe alter their delivery and maybe not throw quite as hard. The most successful example of that, of course, would be Masahiro Tanaka, who went on and had a very good 3-4-5 year run for the Yankees after his UCL injury. Never did get surgery. Now he's back in Japan. But usually they have to get go under the knife, but he's going to try to gut it out and rehab it, and we'll see how that works. So best of luck.
Yeah, I remember watching pretty much every Tanaka start after that happened. You're just waiting, right? You're just waiting for the snap.
Mm-hmm.
And it never happened. So he was able to make the adjustment. So we'll see if Glasnow is able to avoid the knife again, and he can make the adjustment. But yes, that did have some impact. I wasn't too keen. I mean, I didn't think we were going to win the league in our fantasy league this year or anything. It already dealt some pieces, dealt some expiring contracts, got younger, got more prospects driven. So I already was starting to put pieces in place. So I was like, I can still make these moves and be competitive. And then your best pitcher blows his elbow out. You're like, all right. That was fun. I'll enjoy my sixth place finish. You know, because
the team's not terrible.
I mean, I guess there's an outside chance that we could sneak into that top four and maybe get a check. But I've got that feeling we're probably more destined for fifth or sixth place. But that also depends. You don't know what those teams around us are going to do either, or who's going to get hurt or who's going to blow an elbow. So it's not even the 4th of July yet. So I'm not going to try to predict outcomes. But yes, to talking about the batting average, you know, just looking from a fantasy standpoint of being in the league for as long as I have and knowing that we've won the league batting title, so to speak, where we've had the highest batting average in the league. And 1 year we did like 296. This year, the top batting average in the league is like 254.
This is American League only, by the way, just to remind.
Yes. So no pitchers hitting.
Mm-hmm.
AL only. Yeah. I mean, we were a few weeks ago, we were the top batting average in the league and we were sitting at 254. I think we're down to 251 now, but we're still on the top three or four. That's a dismal batting average.
It's ugly. It is so ugly.
Yeah. I mean, you don't even really see too many guys hitting 300.
No. Yeah, just a handful, Vlad and a few others. And that's about it.
You got guys hitting in the high 100s, you know, guys hitting 175, 180, who aren't even getting benched. It's like, nah.
No. What's behind them? Are they going to do any better?
What's better, you know? Did we expect this, that we were going to just – we're saying now that the whole culprit behind this is suntan lotion?
I know that it's not the whole culprit, but I do see that there have been – if you watch MLB Network, they'll put up the numbers every now and then of ever since the announcement of we're about to start the stop and frisk a couple weeks ago. Yeah, the spin has gone down on average. The batting averages have gone up on average, like 28 points on average in the last 2 weeks between when they announced that they were going to start this new rule and when they and tonight or today, 28 points batting average already in that short of time. There's been an effect. There's no doubt. There's been an effect. And how long that will last, who knows, but if it's really that important, it's really that true that people were using sticky tack and everything else to get a whole lot more spin and get some ungodly spin. And we've seen some of these pitches that have been just like, that's not fair at all. It looks like whistle balls out there. If it really does make a difference, then I guess it's a good thing. But we know that it's not the only thing. We know that people in general, hitters in general that have come up over the last 5, 10, 15 years, we watch baseball enough that we know the approaches are different. We know more and more guys are trying to hit it out because that's how you get paid, because it's much, much quicker path to points by just hitting it over the wall. And a lot more guys are doing that, and I don't blame them at all, because you're trying to do what you're trying to do to stay up in the major leagues, and that's how you stay in the major leagues is you hit it out of the park. You don't necessarily stay up there by executing and hitting the other way and all that. That's just not something people are as focused on now than they used to be. And so it's not completely gone away, but they're definitely not nearly trying to do that as much. So that's part of it as well as the approach. And, of course, the other part is the you were talking about the shifts, and that's a big part of it too. So a couple of fundamental points to ask about as far as the game goes. First of all, the shifting, I don't know if we've ever had that discussion between us, but there has been a movement out there to ban the shift. What do you think of that? Is that something
First of all, you got a pitcher, a catcher, and you got seven fielders, right?
That's right.
You put those seven fielders wherever you want.
Okay.
I mean, if the spray chart says that this guy is, 95% of the time he's going to hit a line drive to left field, I don't care. Put five guys out in left field where this guy's going to hit the ball and make them beat. I'm not one of these. I don't want to see illegal defense in baseball. You've got seven guys, play them however you want.
You don't want to call the zone up. Oh, they're in the zone. Can't do that.
The whole point is to not let the other team hit the ball where they ain't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who cares? The only guys who have to be somewhere are the pitcher and the catcher. The other seven guys can play wherever the hell they want. That's what I think.
No, I 100% concur with that.
Okay.
I think it's ludicrous to say that I'm not allowed to move my shortstop into position where our data says that the guy's going to hit the ball the most. Why?
Right.
If I can't move my guy to where he's likely to hit the ball the most, why do I have guys out there? Let's just make it an exhibition where you pitch the ball and they hit it wherever, and if it hits the zone, then it's an out, and if it hits over that zone, it's a hit. Why even have fielders if I can't put them where the hell I want to put them? That actually infuriates me, the thought that they might ban shifting because it's cutting down on offense so much. First of all, you're allowed to hit the ball where the fielder's not standing.
Correct.
Okay? That's
I seem to remember even us playing, like, pickup softball or being in high school and playing these things. When you go up to the plate and you are standing there and you scan the defense and you go, oh, wow, look at that gap out there in right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you trying to do? You're trying to hit the ball to the place where it has the greatest chance of landing without being caught.
To where the least people are standing.
Yes. That's what I thought the whole point of the game was. Apparently the point of the game now is you just go up there, like you said, and you dig in and you just, it's launch angle and, you know, exit velocity and just trying to hit the ball into the seats, because that's also a way to beat the shift.
Yeah. They can't play in the stands. That's another place they can't play. And until they change that rule, and let you go up and stand up in the stands. And believe me, if they allowed that, some guys would actually be standing there. If you're facing Barry Bonds, where do you think your best chance of catching a ball would be?
McCovey
on the field or in the bleachers?
McCovey Cove. They'd have a guy out there in the canoe.
Oh, what a catch.
Yeah.
Falling off the boat, but he made the catch anyway.
But when you think about that, though, but if that's the guy's aim, and the guy's aim is he's going to go up there and he's just trying to launch the ball to his pole side, and you realize that if he doesn't get the ball out of the stadium, the chances are it's going to fall somewhere in this area, but he's going to pull the ball, play him there. Who cares?
Not only should I be able to play them there, but my motherfucking job depends on if I get enough outs. So, yeah, I'm going to have my guys playing there. If I don't, then they get hits, and they might score runs, and then I might be fired.
I mean,
there's nothing
better for when you see these lefties up there, these big pole lefty hitters, and they just crush the ball on a line drive, and the second baseman is standing about 100 feet into the outfield and just catches it on a frozen rope.
Yep. Only thing better than that is when it hits the ground on the grass out there for what should be a base hit, except the second baseman is playing right in front of the right fielder and throws him out. Yeah, that's beautiful. You got all this data. Some people are afraid of data. That's another part of why some people want to get rid of the shifts. Let's be honest. Some people are just scared of data. And, oh, analytics. Oh, my God. Ah.
You're ruining the game. Okay, if I'm ruining the game, then why is the guy standing exactly where the ball just got hit? How is that ruining baseball? Maybe the guy should try to not hit the ball right at the other dude.
That was just luck. Anyway, I'm glad we were on the same side of that. I'll non sequitur off very briefly into the story of, speaking of softball and hitting them where they ain't, of the greatest home run I ever hit in pickup softball was one day randomly after years and years and years of pulling everything and not really noticing who was defending me or playing where. I finally decided, it just kind of dawned on me. I got up to the plate, I dug in, I looked up, and it just, in a flash, it dawned on me that, oh my God, everybody just ran over to the left field side. And you're just standing there waiting for me to hit it over there. There's nobody over in right field. Nobody, literally nobody. I think I'm going to try to hit it over there for once. I've never tried this. I don't know how well this is going to work, but I think I'm going to try to hit it over there. And I hit the weakest little dinkiest pop fly over Tim, the first baseman's head, Tim, the DC correspondent.
That's right.
It barely got over his head. All right, he's the first baseman. Let me repeat that. That's the first baseman.
Now,
if
I remember correctly, anything that rolled past first base ended up in the sprinkler area.
This is a long time ago we're talking. I'm not sure about the sprinkler area.
There was a little concrete sprinkler area behind the first base. That's where all the balls down the right field went.
I looked over there so little, I wouldn't know what was in the right field area. But this one time, I decided to hit it that way. It barely cleared the first baseman's head, and I went all the way around the bases for a home run because nobody was over there. It took forever for somebody to run in and chase it down. And I wasn't a bad guy either. I was a little fat boy.
You beat the shift.
Exactly. Oh, I hit them where they wasn't or where they ain't.
Special message announcement here for a second. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
This is Jason Goer here.
Oh, stop. Oh, no.
Sorry.
How's it going?
Good.
Good.
I play baseball.
Oh, really? You play good?
Yes.
Oh, good. What's your favorite position?
Batting.
Okay, that's good. I like to bat, too. What about when you're on defense?
Catcher.
Oh, okay. Interesting. What do you like about catching?
Goodbye. No.
Bye.
Go do what mommy wanted you to do. Oh, boy. So if you heard any commotion there, that was the moment when Grant decided to try to walk away with the wired headset on, and the computer starts tipping over.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was almost the end of the show. So.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's summertime, so they get to stay up a little later now. So yeah, he's got one more game of baseball left for his first foray into it's not even Little League, it's like pre-Little League baseball.
Right.
It's fun going to his games, watching all these little kids chasing around, and they don't let them do Little League home runs yet because the coaches are pitching to them. So we're not getting, it's basically just they just play station to station baseball. It's just. They don't really let them do much advancing because if that was the case, every time the ball makes contact.
Right, just run.
Yeah, although his team's getting better. It's like today they were actually making defensive plays. Most of those defensive plays were the ball gets rolled over weakly to first base and then the first baseman steps on the bag. But there's one that was caught on the fly. These are little things that you don't see a lot for 6 to 8 year olds, which is, you know, balls caught on the line drive or – grounders that it, you know, end up being put outs with the throw to first. So
that's great.
You get excited about those things.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. I stumped him though with the question about what was.
I think round two is here.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Tranny.
How are you?
I'm good. In your summer vacation?
Uh-huh.
You having fun? Good. What you guys been doing?
We've been going out to eat a lot.
Okay.
Kind of. I got my new phone today.
Oh.
We've been playing Fortnite. I've been taking and I've been taking guitar lessons.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah, I saw a picture of that on Facebook. They put a picture of you playing the guitar. You getting good at it?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I never learned how. I wish I learned how to play the guitar. Good to hear you guys are getting out and enjoying things up there.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, side effect of summer vacation is they get to stay up later. So they're starting bedtime now.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear from him. I haven't heard from him in a while.
Okay, where were we?
Where were we?
We're beating the shift. What were we talking about again?
Kings of Non-Sector. Yes, we're beating up baseball for trying to outlaw the shift and ban the
shift.
No,
and I've been hearing that for a couple of seasons now, and every time I hear it, I shake my head like that they're not going to be that stupid. But this is baseball, so
anything's possible under Rob Manfred, it would appear.
I'm so incensed with some of the 7-inning doubleheader can go away anytime. The starting the runner on second base and extra innings can go away anytime. Ugh.
It does leave a bad taste in your mouth when you're watching a great like pitcher's duel and it goes into the 10th and all of a sudden there's a man magically at second for no reason. And you know, one base hit and you're already breaking up the shutouts or the well-pitched games and it turns into a carnival and it's not baseball. It's just not. It's basically a hockey shootout or a soccer shootout. It's a bastardization of the game and we railed against it when they first implemented it and it hasn't gotten any better.
No, I told you I was more of an advocate for the 12-inning regular season tie. You know, if we can have ties in football, I mean, it always leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But, yeah, I mean, if you could end a game, if a baseball game, just let them play three clean innings. All sudden death, I mean, if the home team scores and the game's over. But, yeah, if they can't resolve it by the end of the 12th inning, it's a tie. It's a regular season game. Every sport knows how to integrate ties into the standings, right? Better than a loss, worse than a win. There you go.
I got no problem with that. I agree that it would be better than what they're doing now. I would just leave it the way it used to be. Just let them play it out until they finish the game.
There was a charm to what would happen after you have one of these 17 or 18 inning games, and then you'd have to, you know, worry about bullpen use the next day, or if you had to call up a guy. I mean, there was a strategy involved in it. Where now it's just terrible.
Yeah, but at least you played it out. At least you actually got an actual resolution to the game instead of this garbage.
Right, because in theory, even with the man on second, these games could indefinitely be played, and you could still end up with a marathon game, but it's so hard to have that happen now because you see these guys, they come up, the runner's on second, first guy up, bunts them over, which is exactly what you should do, right?
Well, depending on how bad your hitter is at the plate, but they're all getting worse and worse, apparently.
Oh, yeah, I actually remember seeing one of the extra inning games where the guy was on second. They bunted the guy over to third. So I'm immediately going, okay, you intentionally walked the next guy. And the coach didn't, and the next guy up drove him in. I was like, oh, my brain. This is so there. This isn't baseball.
It's not. but it's here to stay, unfortunately, for now. And one more thing about the Glasnow thing before we get off of baseball was my initial reaction to hearing him bellyache about, well, I hurt my arm because I couldn't use the stuff that I've been using all these years.
I can't cheat.
Because I can't cheat it because I'm getting ready to get clean because they've warned me that stop and frisk is coming.
Right.
Now,
they told me I can't cheat anymore, so I went and done got hurt. Dang it.
My reaction was, if you get hurt pitching and you blame it on the fact that you couldn't use this illegal stuff that you were using before, maybe you shouldn't be pitching.
Or how maybe good you were you
pitch
really?
In a different way or something? I will backtrack a little bit on that. Because since I tweeted that, I've seen so many pitchers, mostly on MLB Network, but in other places as well, talk about the importance of having some stuff to help you get a better grip, not necessarily to get a better spin rate and be a better pitcher, but to actually be able to grip the ball. Because sometimes, and depending on the ball itself, whether it's been rubbed down, you know, properly pregame, sometimes depending
right.
on the weather situations, it's really, really hard to get a grip on the baseball. It's like a slick cue ball, as I think John Smoltz described it one night. And now if your grip is really terrible, you're talking about risking drilling somebody because you just don't have the control that you're supposed to have. So now it's a matter of safety to the batters at the plate, safety to the catcher, safety to everybody involved, because now you're just throwing this thing and you're hoping that it's going where you want it to go. And I'll back off a little bit. I'll say that, yeah, there is something to the pitcher has to be able to get a grip on the ball that's satisfactory to where he doesn't feel like, oh, my God, I don't know where the hell this thing is going. Nobody wants that. I don't want that. Nobody wants something like that. So I get
right.
that.
Well, Tom Brady would just deflate them, right?
I don't think you can deflate the baseball. It would be
oh,
good.
Okay.
Bill Belichick would love to be able to deflate the baseballs, and Brady would be right along with that. And in the moment they got caught, they would just blame the ball boy, and he'd get fired in that
mm-hmm.
for that. No, it's something that is right there on the line of it's illegal and you shouldn't do it. But if you don't do it, there might be dire consequences for everybody involved. Nobody wants to see someone get beanballed. So I got to admit, I don't know the answer exactly to that. You got the rosin bag. Apparently, sometimes that's just not good enough. But maybe it's something as complicated as there needs to be like an individual panel or a guy or something that judges on each day what the conditions are of the ball and of the weather conditions that suggest that maybe there's something else that they can be allowed to use other than their saliva, licking their fingers, and the rosin bag. Because maybe
like
some
the humidor,
it is necessary.
Right, like Coors Field with the humidor.
Right, that was a special situation where they decided that this was necessary to make the game fairer because it was getting to be 16 to 15 every day at Coors Field. And we understood that. I don't know if you were against it when they first announced
I was
the
not.
Humidor. I was like, what are you doing? I mean, it's, you know, that's the conditions. You're in Colorado. You're playing in Mile High. That's how it's going to, you know, you got to deal with that. That's just what you got to do. But once I saw that it wasn't just completely blowing things out of proportion, because my fear was it was going to go from 15, 14 to 2-1 every night. And I was like, no one wants to see that. And it didn't do that. It did actually make it more like a regular game. You still see 9-8 every now and then, but it's less often than it used to be. It's more like a closer to a regular game than,
right.
than it was before.
It just takes me back to Major League, the movie, you know, because they had
yeah.
the over the hill veteran pitcher. He was their start, and you know, and at one point in the movie, is like he's like in the locker room, and he's taking everything off, and he's got like the stuff on his hat. He's got the stuff under his hat. He's got the stuff on his chest inside of his jersey, you know, and it just keeps going and going how he's got all the stuff like all over him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was almost the joke in the movie.
And I think it's coming to real life a little bit now.
Yeah. And well, was it a joke or was it just a over amplification of what's been actually happening in baseball for decades?
for many, many, many years. Yes.
And this is a movie from the late 80s, I'm going to say.
Yeah, Google Gaylord Perry, kids. This has been going on a long time.
Yeah. I mean, short of the guy with the nail file, you know.
Joe Negro?
Is that, hey, we have some MLB Hall of Infamy coming up. Uh-oh. We got to get the nail file in there.
And NFL Hall of Infamy as well, which that reminds me, speaking of non-sequituring, that the part that we talked about, these Dark Side of Football shows on Vice Network, that got cut from the after show, the after show of the last show.
Sure.
So that gives me an opportunity to bring that up again, that I by the way, I'm not being compensated by Vice or anybody else, but it's just I started out watching Dark Side of the Ring on Vice Network, which is these three seasons now of hour-long documentaries about things in pro wrestling that they don't necessarily want you to remember. Kind of reminiscent of our the Hall of Infamy inductions of guys.
Correct.
and incidents and events and items that football and baseball may not necessarily want you to remember. And so they started that Dark Side of the Ring series, and that's been their most successful series ratings-wise. So they decided to spin off of that, and now they have Dark Side of Football, and they've had about five or six episodes of Dark Side of Football so far. And it's very good. It's the first one was on Diva wide receivers, so you had some
right.
Chad Johnson action in there, and you know, got some – Little Terrell Owens referencing as well. And the series does remind me of some Hall of Infamy inductions on our end. The one episode that I saw that definitely referenced one of our Hall of Infamy inductions was the documentary about the Oakland Raiders and the Raiders franchise, because they were Oakland and Los Angeles and Oakland again, and now they're Las
right.
Vegas. So they cover the whole franchise. And in the middle of the episode, they talk about the one wild guy defender that was an outcast and an outlaw that they brought to the Raiders and really put them over the top and helped them win a title and made a big difference on the field and off, because he was such a wild man. And that man will be Lyle Alzado, my original
yes.
Hall of Infamy.
Yeah, that's way back.
Yes. So infamous for they sort of get into it a little about the steroids, and he's pretty much patient zero as far as introducing anabolic steroids to the NFL. But
right,
so it's a real good series for things like that. If you're into the darker side or the side that people don't necessarily want you to remember, so it's fun to see that there's going to be other Hall of Infamy tie-ins that come up in some of these episodes. I'm absolutely certain of that. There definitely was one in the Cleveland Browns episode, which was entitled "Why Can't Cleveland Win," which is a great title for anything.
Wow.
Really. When I saw the piece on Johnny Football and he's doing the money sign going across the stage and he gets drafted and all of everything that went into him and him running around, the highlights are the beautiful thing about that is watching him just running with his head chopped off, running around like a chicken. Where do I go? Which way do I go? What am I doing? What am I? The stuff that we saw on draft day, the same highlights that we both said,
yeah.
Oh, that's not going to work in the NFL because they're
exactly.
going to murder you. And that's exactly what happened to Johnny Football. So he's not in the Hall of Infamy yet, but he is absolutely going to be someday. And that's definitely going to be a Hall of Infamy tie-in when that happens. So things like that, a lot of things in that series. It's again, Vice Network. The episodes are on demand if you got cable. Just look them up. Dark Side of Football, Dark Side of the Ring as well. Another great series. I highly recommend both.
So is that our lead into what we actually is our bread and butter, which is the NFL? Because I know you wanted to talk about the big trade.
I sure did.
How much that impacts your local team.
And how much
and,
it impacts
and my
your favorite team.
Yeah. That's right. So
the double tie-in there. Absolutely. Lots of NFL unhappiness in this offseason, lots of trade demands, lots of rumors of trade demands. We can't say for sure if Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson have actually made trade demands because we haven't heard it out of their mouths. So technically, if their agents make a trade demand, then they really didn't make a trade demand. The agent did. So, you know, the
right.
technicality.
Got to leave the door open because I have a feeling for both that they're both back where they started. That's my bold prediction.
You know, the longer the off season goes on, the closer we get to it no longer being the off season, the more I'm afraid that you might be right. And I, as a Bears fan, I was very much looking forward to the big the big Aaron Rodgers trade coming across the screen, but hasn't happened yet, and I don't know if it's imminent or not. But we do know that Quintorius Lopez Jones Jr., or Julio as we know him, we know he made the trade demand. Because he went right out there on TV and said, yeah, I want out of there. And that was where Shannon Sharp on May the 24th, Sharp, who's hosting a talk show on FS1 called Undisputed, was having a phone conversation about the trade situation and everything that's going on with Julio Jones. And Mr. Sharp decided to put that phone conversation on the air.
Yeah.
I don't think Julio Jones knew that was on the air.
Yeah, you know, that seemed a little over the line to me. No, it didn't really get any publicity. But then that sort of became, like you saw some other sports guys started copying that exact same move. That, you know, that's a real quick way to not get these guys to answer the phone if they know that you're a media figure and all of a sudden you think a private conversation isn't, you know, and then you find out that's not private anymore. That's not cool.
It's a quick way to burn a source. It's a quick way to burn a friendship, yeah, if there was one there. And in some guys' case, it's a quick way to get your ass kicked because a lot of guys really will have a problem with you putting a conversation they think is private out on the air because they can really
just
say
ask,
some things.
Just ask Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
Let
me tell you something, brother.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's... Oof. But anyway, so yeah, Sharp put that conversation out there and he asked Julio Jones about staying in Atlanta and Julio said, nope, I'm out of there.
I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. Just flat out said it. So a rare confirmation of a trade demand rumor, but I don't think Julio wanted it that way. I think he was trying to do it quietly and you know, without drama, and that was the exact opposite of that. So anyway, there it is. The deal,
yeah,
gets pulled off eventually by the Titans. They send a 2 next draft in 2022 and a 4 in 2023. And they get back from Atlanta the 32-year-old wide receiver Julio Jones and a 6 in 2023. Yeah. Your thoughts, your opinions.
Well,
obviously,
I mean,
the end of the era for the Falcons.
Yeah, it's a future Hall of Famer. I mean, Julio was a great player for them. Should have had the catch that won them a Super Bowl.
Yes.
But, you know, gets down to the 20-yard line, and then you just start marching backwards from there. But, you know, that should have been one of, that was one of those catches, too. You still see that on the Julio Jones highlight reel out of context, because it was such an amazing catch at the end of that game. It was a draft pick I thought they never should have made. I remember railing against that draft pick when they made it after they had just gotten run out of the building by Green Bay in the playoffs. They decided to basically sell the farm to add to their offense after they just gave up 48 points in a playoff game. And that's a team that just kept going heavy offense, heavy offense, heavy offense, always sort of defense, you know, not
moved
in the
up
best
for Julio
shape.
Too, right?
Well, they traded a lot to get him. But the productivity was there. You can't lie about the career. He's going to the Hall of Fame. You know, wish him well in Tennessee. That I'm more intrigued about the Tennessee side of that than I am the Atlanta side of that. Obviously, you know, I don't think Atlanta was looking at that division. You know, you still have, you have Tampa there, the Super Bowl champs. You got New Orleans, who minus Breeze still has a lot of talent on that roster. I think they're just trying, they brought in a new head coach. They just drafted the tight end. I think that they're just looking at, you know, accumulating picks and getting younger, you know, and building through the draft. I don't think they had any aspirations to go out there that they were going to be a top flight team this year. So they move on. Julio's been nicked up, you know, the last few years. So it'll be interesting to see how they integrate him in Tennessee. Cause wow, you just added Julio Jones to AJ Brown and Derrick Henry and that offense. So I almost wonder if it's going to be the OBJ problem, right? Where you're bringing in the new high priced toy, and they're going to try to shoehorn him into something that he might not be a fit for. But we'll see.
Well, I certainly hope it doesn't go down that road. That's a couple of very unique circumstances to where OBJ and Baker Mayfield haven't worked out together. Yeah. I don't think Julio's OBJ.
No.
As far as drama and lack of willingness to be a team player. And I don't think Ryan Tannehill is Baker Mayfield. I think Tannehill has got a lot more football intellect as far as figuring out how to best integrate such a weapon into the game plan, into the starting lineup, and make sure that he gets his. Of course, Derrick Henry will always get his, and AJ Brown will get his, but I have a lot more confidence that the Titans will figure out how to make sure that Julio gets his as well, and make sure and probably not nearly as much as he would get his in Atlanta, but that's probably a good thing, because maybe that'll keep him fresher and that'll keep him from not being quite as banged up as he has been with the Falcons the last few years. I think that's the only reason they couldn't get a one for someone like Julio Jones is being banged up. I think there's no reason for someone as great as Julio Jones at wide receiver, there's no reason not to get top notch for somebody like that, except for Julio's 32 and has been banged up. But you've heard me on the show for several years now declare that my top three receivers in the league are Julio, can't guard Mike, and DeAndre Hopkins, and I don't care what order you put them in. And I still feel that way, because when Julio takes the field, he still displays that kind of talent to me. He takes the field a lot less often than he used to. I understand that, and I admit that. But when he does, when he's healthy, he can go get still any ball. He can still make all the plays. When the decline starts at that position, it's very quick. So I don't even blame the Falcons for moving on. I think it's much better to make that call maybe a hair too early, a year too early, than it is too late.
Yeah, throw money at him. You know, make it even worse.
Well, they threw the money at him a couple years ago, but that was such a contentious negotiation. There's a great piece by Peter King on Monday Morning Quarterback about that, that acrimony from that contract negotiation to get him the bag a couple years ago, that it was such a tooth pulling, and it was so much back and forth. It took so long that the seeds were sort of planted at that point, that Julio, you know, even though he got paid eventually, still felt the disrespect, and maybe that was sort of the beginning of the end, even though the contract did get signed. Excuse me. But yeah, that's something definitely to look up and read to get some more detail and background on that. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm more interested in the Titans side of it, but I definitely wanted to give you the angle of the Falcons and let you talk about how that affects that franchise. Like I said, the end of an era, the Matty Ice and Julio era, you know, starting with Roddy White back in those days when Julio first got drafted on there. That was a thing. They got to the one Super Bowl. We won't talk about that. But they had a lot of success. They had a lot of chances at being at the top of the conference, and they played quality football. It just never got put all the way together. They had some regime changes and some coaching changes and some changes in sort of philosophies and just trying to find a winner, and it just never quite worked out. But yeah, as far as, you know, being a Falcons fan, I definitely wanted to give you the space to give up your props for Julio Jones, because that might be the best player that franchise has ever seen. And that's definitely the end of an era.
Yeah. And to have their new head coach basically trade that piece to his old team.
Mm-hmm.
He was the offensive coordinator of. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out and what that offense in Tennessee looks like with a new offensive coordinator. You know, is this going to be the, you know, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and lots of play action offense that it was the last few years? Or is this going to be we've got two of the top seven or eight wide receivers in football, depending on where you have AJ Brown, because he's a monster. Imagine he's trying to, I mean, what do you do if you've got both of those guys healthy? What do you do? And Derrick Henry. Good luck.
Double both of them and hope the tight end doesn't get free. I don't know. I don't know what exactly do you do.
This might be the season that could make or break Ryan Tannehill. If you're going to expose Ryan Tannehill as sort of being the imposter on that roster, that's a rhyme. Now you've got AJ Brown and Julio Jones and Derrick Henry. If you can't make that thing go, this could be the year that Ryan Tannehill maybe gets a bit exposed.
MCJ dropping it, laying down the beats for you, the imposter on that roster. Yeah.
And I'm also putting Ryan Tannehill on blast.
Yeah. Word to your mother. It's definitely going to be a situation to watch as far as what's going forward for the Titans if this doesn't work out, if this doesn't succeed, because you're kind of running out of excuses. A little bit like what the Baltimore Ravens have going. They're adding pieces on their offense, and we all know how I feel about Lamar Jackson, that I think they're adding those pieces to take the excuses away from him. To eventually say, hey, we did all we can. We got you more weapons. We got you new philosophy coordinators. Gonna try to get you to air it out some more. So when he puts in his 4-for-20 clunker for 50 yards and two interceptions, what are you gonna do then? That might be something to watch for both of those guys this year. Sort of a make or break situation.
I totally agree with you on the Lamar Jackson thing, that they keep going and getting these offensive pieces, and you keep going back to the guy throwing the football going, is this the vision that we want for this team? Because you can go and get all the weapons, but if you don't have anybody to put the ball where it needs to be, it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, so we're rounding that corner. We're getting ready. The training camps are going to be opening up, and – we're going to get the ball rolling.
Almost into July here.
Yep. So, how much time do we have left in the live
portion? 3 minutes.
3 whole minutes. What can we talk about in 3 minutes?
Not much.
Not too much. I'll get this out of the way. I don't know if you're going to have too many thoughts about it or whatnot, but a bit of a historic moment in the NFL yesterday. As the person to come out of the closet in Pride Month, so very apropos. But it's a Raider, Carl Nassib, the defensive end for the Raiders, veteran. So he's been around. So it was going to have to be something like that, where it's a guy that's been around forever and says, "Okay, you're not kicking me off the team because I'm a veteran. I'm a leader of the team. You're not going to try to ostracize me like you did Michael Sam." So now what? Now I'm out, and what can you do about it? You're not going to be able to. So of course the reaction is going to be, "Oh, we're so proud of him. We're so happy. We're glad." You're not going to get the guys saying what they really want to say right now, because it's a league veteran, so you can't really do that. I'm still mad about Michael Sam myself. If you remember back when he was drafted, SEC Defensive Player of the Year at Missouri.
Right.
Last all the way to the 7th round to the St. Louis Rams at the time in St. Louis, has sacks in preseason games, all right? So last to the 7th round, so it doesn't look good for him. But they give him a chance, they give him some run, and he has sacks. He actually plays decently. I don't know about his practices. I can't speak to any of that because I didn't get to see it, all of that. All I know is he did produce when they did put him in some games. He didn't suck, so to speak. So he actually did something and still can't make the team. And then doesn't get another shot. That's bullshit. I'm sorry. There's no way you can tell me that wasn't because of the whole gay thing. So congrats to Nassib to be able to do that as a veteran. And now, you just got to deal with it. Good luck. There's going to be some things that happen during the season on the field, I'm sure, and maybe some things off the field that may be, unseemly and untoward, because you still got a lot of homophobia and you're going to have to deal with that. But that's the best franchise for it as well, the Raiders. They love sort of pushing the envelope and putting up first black coach in Art Shell, first female exec and Amy Trask and all of that. So that story is also on Dark Side of Football, the Oakland Raiders. I talked about that a little bit with the Lyle Alzado story, but that's part of it too, is how, you know, Al Davis was a renegade and a maverick and liked to push the envelope and liked to do things that the other owners necessarily wouldn't approve of or would never be the ones to do something first like that. And this would be another one. I think this is right up the alley with Art Shell and Amy Trask, is right in line with that. I think Al Davis would be proud if this happened on his watch. You know, his son running the team, I'm sure is proud, is right in the same avenue of the Raiders franchise. So, you know, very fitting. I don't know if this could happen on too many other teams in the league, quite frankly. Maybe no other team other than the Raiders for something like that to happen. So I know how you feel about first in general, that you're just like, whatever, it's, you know, it's a first, so good for them, and then let's get on with it. So that it had to happen eventually, the first openly gay athlete on a team actively playing. So he's the first, Carl Nesib. So congratulations to them. And I just want to get that out of the way to give him his props for doing that, because that's a very, well, no matter how you feel about it, it's a very gutsy move to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, but good for him. I mean, yeah, you completely got it correct. I'm not all that into the first this or that of anything, because, you know, it all goes back to the performance on the field. That's all people care about.
Sure.
People who are rooting for that team aren't watching that game. I in general, sitting there thinking about what these players do in private, as long as it's not, you know, murder, rape, you know, things along those lines, you know. That's when it starts to really infringe on things. But if the guy, hey, this guy felt, you know, secure enough and confident enough and you know, he wanted to do it, good for him. Go out there and play. You know, perform. That's going to give you the most validation no matter what you do off the field. Just, you know, and I don't think that there's going to be a whole lot of blowback within the game. I think this guy's safest place is going to be in the brotherhood of the team. I guarantee you his teammates know.
Sure.
You know, and that's what you hear from a lot of these guys, is when they all get sort of individually asked, like, you know, if you know, these guys are like, oh, yeah, there's plenty of guys.
We all know.
You know, yep. You know, this guy was, you know, they don't go out and out each other,
right?
but they know, because you can't be in that situation where, you know, where you're basically living with these people for God, you know, half the year. And these people, you know, they're friends. They go out, they know. So I don't think that this is going to be something where he's going to be targeted on the field. I worry more for the fan abuse.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that, especially on the
road. You know, but that's, you know, you can't stop that. You can't stop people from being, you know, letting horrible things out of their mouths or having horrible things in their heart. You know, you just hope that as things progress, there's less and less and less of that. But it'll never be zero.
And
good for him. Now go play. Don't become a footnote of being, like I said with Michael Sam, the first gay guy to get cut.
Oh, again, I'm still mad at that because I don't know what he did to get cut. I think they gave him chances and he produced.
I mean, he never actually got officially cut off of an active NFL roster, so let's
right, because he never made it
happen the first. Yeah, because that's what always happens when you're the first to do something good. That means you also get to be the first to do something bad.
Yeah,
you know, this isn't a Hall of Famer. This is just a solid NFL vet, right?
Yep.
And he puts his thing out there, and he has his 15 minutes and his look at me moment, and now everybody can go back to not giving a shit about this guy. Nobody gave a shit about this guy before, and we don't give one about him now, other than the fact that he likes dudes. Good for him.
Well, you're 100% correct that the people who aren't gay don't think about that at all when we're watching the games. We don't know who's doing what to who, and we don't give a fuck. Just produce on the field. That's absolutely true. I think where the importance comes in is for people who are gay or might be questioning, and they see something like that and they go, oh, okay, I didn't know there was anybody, because there's nobody else that's out. So there's no way to know if there's anyone like you, you know, in the NFL. And now at least there's somebody that can say, oh, there's at least one, there's somebody that's like me, and that gives them more confidence to be, you know, who they really are. So I think that's where the importance comes in, not to you and me, because we don't give a damn who he's doing, you know.
When we're sitting here doing our show every week and we're picking the games, I don't think either one of us is going to have any that this is going to have zero impact on us picking a game.
We don't know who's smoking pole, and we don't care.
Yeah, I'm not going to be us. Like, you know, the Raiders miraculously make the playoffs. I'm not going to have this guy as my X factor because he's gay.
I'll take the gay guy.
That's all he's got. That's sort of the rallying cry against, like, the whole identity politics things. If the top of your resume is that you fall into a category, you don't have much of a resume.
Right, to those of us who don't fall in that category, that's true. But it's not about us.
No. I'm saying if those are not job qualifications.
No, to be elected because you're gay and you don't do anything.
Right. We'll talk about our hometown.
Right.
You know.
Yes, that's not the most popular mayor we've ever had. That's for
correct.
Sure.
But when that happened, when the election happened, it wasn't about policy. It was about the firsts, right?
Got the first lesbian mayor. Good for us.
And sometimes those are the things that come back and bite you in the ass, because now you're doing things and you're looking at things on a level and making decisions on a level. You're not thinking about your own self-interest. You're just thinking about the first. You know, you're looking. The top of the resume isn't what matters. It's just the, you know, checking the boxes. That's why nobody. That's why this is good for this guy. Right?
Right?
He's comfortable, you know. So yeah, everybody can fully support that. I don't think anybody has any. And I pretty universal on the social media as I'm scrolling through it. Yesterday, because I was at work and it was pretty quiet, and I'm on Twitter and I'm scrolling through and I'm reading about this, almost to a T, I would say universal, just like, hey, you know what? Everybody gave him the clap, like, good for you. You go, and now everybody's forgotten about it.
I hope nobody gave him the clap. That'd be awful.
Well, hey, we don't know. We don't know.
And it doesn't matter to us, because
right.
We're not sleeping with him. So.
Right. But, you know, When this guy's done and his NFL career is over, he's going to, you know, hopefully be remembered as being, you know, a Raider and a lineman. It's not just be gay. That's always the thing I always say. Like, if you die before me, right, and I go to your funeral, and I give words, I'm like, what, you know, guys, what can you say about your best friend? He was black. All right, everybody, thank you. Right? I'm not going to boil it down to that. So this is one part of this guy's life that he felt comfortable about. But I look at all the other things. When you want to look at somebody and you want to judge them on everything, and you want to look at, you know, we're talking specifically about the football side of it. What are we looking at? You know, he's a defensive lineman. You know, it's production, it's sacks, it's pressures. It's not, oh, he's gay. Give us, you know.
A lot of people are going to look at him as that from now on, and that's just that's part of what's coming out, a small way of looking at it, that comes with the territory.
Yes, it's a small way of looking at it, you know, and it's. But I don't think either one of us are going to be that. You know, we're not overly, like, small minded, you know. I mean, sure, we could be small minded about things, but when we look at it from, I remember having all the conversations. When we did the whole Michael Sam conversation, I think we had almost the exact same conversation.
Yeah, pretty much.
I just was like, great, go play. go earn your keep. Go play. Help your team win football games. Same thing with this guy. He's obviously done it already. You know, he's a veteran player. He's a starting player, you know. So it's not like this is, you know, now if he just gets unceremoniously cut in the third week of preseason where you and I are having another conversation, or if he gets traded.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. But no, I mean, just go out, do your thing, production. I'm not looking, you know, I hope we don't get that Sunday night game where we have to listen to, like, Michaels and Collinsworth shoehorn this kind of stuff in when he, like, makes a play. Hey, Al, you know he's gay? Oh, God.
Okay, those two might be the last two of all the broadcasting crews that are going to, like, try to make a big glossy deal over this. Because I think those two are the, like, as far as socially trying to prop up people who aren't like them, those two don't do that. They really don't have much tolerance.
That's not the crew I should be pointing. Okay, I don't know. Which crew? Would that be like the ESPN crew?
I'm so embarrassed. I don't remember who. Is Tessitore still the main guy, or did they get rid of him?
I don't know, because that dumpster fire.
It was not very good. And I kind of liked Tessitore, but I understood he wasn't, you know, he isn't what he's going to be someday. Like, he's just starting out at the play-by-play thing. So he was a little overexcited at certain times.
Yeah, ESPN has not been able to figure that booth out. Pretty much ever.
I mean, they got down to Tirico for a while, and then he left, and they've been bumbling and fumbling ever since, pretty much.
And then they tried to throw boatloads of cash at Romo, and that didn't work. They tried to throw boatloads of cash at Peyton Manning, and that didn't work. So you keep hearing the rumors about how they're just desperate. Didn't they try to get somebody to retire?
Think so.
I remember there was the rumor that they threw a boatload of cash at somebody who was still actively playing in the NFL.
Right. It wasn't Drew Brees, was it? It was somebody that's at the end, but he wasn't ready to quit just yet at that point.
Right. Although after finding out what happened to Drew Brees, what he played through, he should have taken the money.
Yeah. Well. I mean, if I was ever that high of a level of player, I would really find it hard to stop playing too.
They'd be dragging you.
Yes.
Off the field. Yeah.
Exactly.
You're like Dennis Quaid in Any Given Sunday. Like, your brains are mush. They're dragging you physically off the field.
I will be Bartolo Colon. I will play in the Mexican League. I will pitch until I'm 80 years old. Just keep letting me play.
I'm not making that up. You need that smack, man. You just
put it right in my veins. And I'm not making it up. Bartolo Colon is pitching in the Mexican League this year. He actually is.
I just think it's funny that you...
Not pitching bad either.
Completely, like, knew my reaction to these firsts of anything.
I mean, we've been doing this for... We've been doing the podcast for 8 years.
Yeah.
We've been best friends for, God, I don't want to count how many years.
30. 29?
It's
no.
Been more than that. It's
39.
Been more than that.
39
yes.
years. 39
yeah,
years.
That's why I didn't want to count.
Yeah, so it's not, I'm sure it sounds callous, but it's not meant to be dismissive, right? It's meant to be more of a, like, okay, but let's worry about the important things. Let's not lose sight of the things that matter, you know?
I kind of get it. I just try to look at it from their perspective more so than mine, because mine doesn't really matter. But
yeah,
you know, I'm trying to, when he does something like that, I'm like, okay, so what would make him want to do that? And what would, you know, what goes
would make
into
him
that
want
and,
to do what?
To say that publicly in the situation that he's in as a pro athlete, which cannot be easy. I don't care how much your teammates support you. That cannot be an easy thing to do. So that's why I have the respect that, to do something that gutsy and to take the abuse that I know he's going to take for the rest of his career, and then for the rest of his life after his career is over, because now he's got, you know, for 30 years, he's got to walk down the street to hear people whisper and say things about him, after this. So, yeah, I don't know if I could do it if I was gay. I really don't know if I could come out while I was playing, because that's just...
Well, this is probably not the guy that you want to physically one-on-one confront about it.
No, you're not going to walk up to his...
Because the guy beat your ass.
Yes. Exactly.
Right. This isn't the punter.
But he's got to, that's why I said, he's got to hear that behind his back everywhere he walks for the next 30, 40 years. So they're not going to say it to his face. Unless they're
doing stuff. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's 2021. Things are either... Fortunately, the Raiders will not be playing any games in Birmingham or Pensacola. you know.
Yeah, but they still got to go to Jacksonville and Atlanta
or Meridian. you know. yeah, I know. Yes, they will still have to go to Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a good one. Jacksonville, New Orleans,
anywhere in Texas.
Nashville, anywhere in Texas.
God.
Yeah, I honestly I think first of all you do it now. So we're 3 months away from the season. So many less people pay attention to this. So I guarantee you it's going to be completely missed. Unless, guess what? You're going to have to sit through the primetime shows and the pre-shows, and you're going to have to get the expose and the human interest of all the stuff I don't watch anymore, which is probably why I still can somewhat enjoy football.
I don't watch it anymore.
I'm sure that's all going to get rammed right down people's throats. Yeah. So, yes, there's going to be that side of it, too. And this guy knows that, so he's opened himself up to this.
Right. No, Fox and CBS, and they'll all get that 15-minute piece on the pregame show.
Yeah.
Whatever week that they're the featured act. That's for sure.
Right. When the NFL week 9 or whatever decides they're going to have, like, Pride Week, and all the teams will have rainbow helmets.
They're doing that already this month. It's Pride Month. The NFL logo has been in rainbows on their social medias, and every league has been in rainbows like that, so. They're all jumping on. They're all Pride this month.
Oh, okay. July 1st, gone.
None. No Pride. We have no Pride.
Correct.
From gay Pride to no Pride.
That's right. This is why I'm, that's why I still always tell the story about why I never made the point to put the American flag out like everybody did after 9/11, right?
Yep.
And people are like, well, how did you, yep. So, 'cause someday I'm not going to put it out. Right?
Yep.
So that's the whole point with any of this stuff that's going on. It's like, it's great that you want to celebrate it, but I'd rather integrate than celebrate, if that makes sense.
Oh, man, MCJ is dropping bars tonight.
Do you like that?
Man. Yeah.
Damn. Mm.
Rather integrate than celebrate.
You say it so much better.
Well, because I'm black. I'm made for this.
That's right. You have to drop the beats for me, and I just provide the inspiration. Oh, you're beatboxing, man. I got to go get Grant up.
Oh, man.
I got to go get Grant because he always tries to beatbox. it sounds so white. He's such a white kid.
Yeah, I mean, he's white. I mean, he can't help it.
When I sit here and I talk about my son, I do make it a point to not have the first thing I say about him is... He's white.
He's white. but he identifies as white. That's the important thing. If he identified as black, then you'd really have a problem.
I don't know.
Be, Rachel Dolezal.
But that's okay, right?
It is to her.
You can identify as whatever you want.
She didn't ask my opinion.
This is what we're telling people now. They can be whatever they want to be. You want to be black, go be black.
I mean, you can be a woman or a man or whatever. You just got to get the necessary surgery, right?
Not even that anymore.
Oh, just identify?
Now you just have to identify.
Okay. I was born a boy. I don't care what my body parts say. That's how I was born. You know, I try to be very, very open as far as those things go, and I will always admit that I don't know what it is to be that, so I don't understand.
Right.
And I never will.
But even you have the line, right? It sounds like
I don't get it. That's all I'm saying is I just don't understand it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm with you. That's the way.
But I'm not supposed to because I wasn't born that way.
Because you hear, about all the stuff about like the dudes who like they don't want the guys who are transitioning to be women to play women's sports, right? Because so some states are not for that, and some people are like, oh, man, but, you got to let them do it. And then you hear the people like, well, it gives them no inherent advantage. And it's like, okay. Oh, you know, even though this, you look at these and go, that doesn't look, you know, something's wrong here. So I finally figured out the counter argument, which is if there was no advantage either way, that why don't we have people who are born as women breaking into men's sports?
Okay.
Right? Nobody's complaining about that. All the stuff that's being banned, right? And all these states are just protecting women's sports.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's passing anything to protect men's sports from all the transgender men, you know, going in to play linebacker and dominate all these men's sports.
Yeah, you're onto something, because if the women transitioning to men were coming in and breaking all the men's records, then there would be problems with them. Then there would be complaining, but that's not happening.
No, it's
because
not happening.
Kind of not the same.
Which is right, which is why you don't have mixed leagues.
Although that would be kind of fun. See LeBron James on the break and just throwing it down on a woman. That would be pretty interesting.
We should
have to pick her up off the third row.
Yeah. We just got to have something like that happen. We just, yeah, now we just need to have LeBron identify as a woman. He can go out and play for the Lynx or whoever it is. And just watching LeBron putting up 75 a game. And
I've never felt freer in my life. I finally embraced who I was. I always knew I was LeBron inside.
Oh.
And now I can really be the real me. And I'm so happy that the league has allowed me to do that. And I want to apologize to the six women whose ribs I broke tonight. And hopefully I can do better in the future.
Oh, man. And LeBron had another triple-triple tonight. Yeah. He had 104 points, 119 rebounds, and 117 assists. Great job, LeBron. The triple-triple.
And nothing says more equal than LeBron in the WNBA. We are all just people.
That's right. And game three of the playoff series has been canceled because the opponents are all at the hospital.
The Chicago Sky has officially withdrawn from the playoffs. They are out of players.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I'm going straight to hell.
Yes, both of us. But we knew that a long time ago.
Yes.
So that's our segue to the NBA, right? Because that was one of your last things was you wanted to talk about the NBA playoffs, which I have been somewhat watching. So
okay,
I might actually be able to speak competently because this isn't that long of a show. I'm gonna do my best Mike Golic right now.
no one's in your ear telling you what you're supposed to say, so you can't be Mike Golic.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to comment on the NBA conference finals are bereft of LeBron or LeBrana,
yes.
And Steph and Durant and Harden,
right,
and Kyrie and Embiid and Doncic and Dame Lillard. That just all these guys are not in the NBA playoffs anymore. And
right,
we're down to the Clippers and the Bucks and the Suns and the Hawks for the conference title games, and I am stunned that one of those teams is going to be the new NBA champion. So I'm watching sort of with like a little bit of awe and a little bit of like, who are these people? But look, it's what happens when you get stars eliminated like that, whether it's injury, whatever the case may be, of course, is you open up all these opportunities for new stars. That's exactly
right. You get the new stars. Now, while I appreciate and love the fact that we've got all this new blood in the NBA, you got to know that the league hates this. Like,
yes,
their ratings were already hurting.
I don't even want to look.
Yes, I'm not. I will be watching kind of sideways, but I've been paying attention. Obviously, the local team is still in it, and that was sort of a miracle. You know, with the Nets sort of just literally like breaking down and doing the victory auto records right in front of you. And Kevin Durant just tried to literally throw the whole team on his back, and just his shoe was a little too big. Like, if his shoe just wasn't so big, right?
His toenail was on the line.
Man, it was on the line though. That was like that. They didn't even really have to go back to replay on that. Like the official was Johnny on the spot on that one. He threw up the two on that like right away. So there was no controversy. There's no Zapruder film. He was stepping on. He was on the line. It was a tie game at that point, and then good on Milwaukee. But that's also in the whole season series between the Bucks and the Nets. That was the first road team to win in that entire season series, even regular season. So that was sort of stunning. But, yeah, no, I mean, obviously people here are excited because that's, you know, the Wisconsin team to still be in it and kind of overcoming what had been a lot of playoff with Giannis. And now they're moving on to play the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, the Eastern Conference Finals. And you got the other series with the Clippers and the Suns, right?
Yeah, them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've kind of grown to like Devontae Booker. Hell of a player. Devin Booker. Who's Devontae Booker?
Is he a running
Devin
back?
Devin Booker. Booker. Yeah, he might be. He sounds like one.
He's
Devin
a Bronco.
No, I like him. He's a hell of a player. I was watching that series when they knocked off the Lakers. He's a bit of a baby. A lot of these guys are. I mean, he complains about everything. He's like Joey Votto. But he's got the talent. He makes the plays that he can single. He can take over the game. Yeah, we're making stars out of these guys now, right? Somebody coming out of this group, you know, whether it's Giannis or, you know, Trae Young or, oh, man, any of these guys from the Clippers, because they're pretty loaded, but they can't stay healthy. And then, you know, Booker, you got these Suns players. So well, someone coming out of this group is going to go on to start them. Or more stardom because they're going to be NBA champs. So good for them.
I think one of them's going to go on to get a ring.
They're going to pull it. They're going to pull a 2.6 rating, but somebody's coming out of this star.
One of those guys is getting more rings than Barkley and Malone. Go figure. Yeah, correct. No, you mentioned Booker lining it up for Phoenix. He's really stepped up. Really, Paul George is the guy that had to step up for the Clips because one of those games, the Kawhi Leonard was hurt, and Paul basically had the game of his life and just put the team on his back. I didn't know he was so capable of that, so I was sort of happy to see that. I didn't know he had it in him. Of course, up there with you, Giannis and Chris Middleton, they're powering the Bucks. They're like one of the 1-2s in the league, one of the best 1-2 combinations now, and so mad props to them. And then as far as the Hawks go, I owe a huge apology to Trae Young because I remember when he got drafted, I called him, you know, lightweight wannabe Steph Curry. And, man, was I dead wrong about that. He has definitely stepped into his own and made some huge, huge shots. He always had the big onions, and now he's doing it in situations that I thought were going to be too big for him. I just thought, you know, he's trying to be Steph, and when it comes, you know, when push comes to shove and comes down to crunch time, he's going to be throwing up all these 30-foot shots and they're going to go clanking everywhere. But he's still drilling them. He's still hitting those big shots. So he's definitely stepped up more than I thought he would. So big props to Trae Young and my sincerest apologies.
Yeah. So and that's why I think it's funny that in the, you know, right up for the show, you asked, is this good for the game or a poor substitute for the missing stars? The answer is yes.
Yes,
it's
and
both.
Yes.
It can be both. It can be good. It can be good for the game, but you are lacking the star appeal. I mean, any national draw, this is going to be a regional finals is what this is going to be.
All the LeBron haters that thought, oh, I'm so sick of LeBron always in the finals. Okay, LeBron's not going to be in the finals, guaranteed. You're going to watch?
Yeah, I mean, the only major market left would be L.A., right? And that's a city the L.A. market doesn't care about sports. So
yeah, that too.
You've got L.A., right, it's the Mets, it's the White Sox.
It's the other
team. But that too. And your other three markets are basically Wisconsin, Atlanta, and Phoenix. So none of these are, you know, regionally they are sports active, but this is not going to play nationally at all.
Sports
no matter what
deserts.
Combo. Does not matter what combo you draw up. I've got a suspicion it's going to be Milwaukee and Phoenix. That's just my suspicion, but we'll see.
I don't even know if I have a pick because how could I can't I didn't see any of these four teams here at the to begin with. So how can I possibly say that I know who's going to move on? I don't know.
And I've been watching this Bucks team for a few years, so I can't say I saw them here. But you could see that they had that arc, right? They had that every year they got a little better. Every year they'd make it deeper into a playoff series, and they'd get through. So they sort of have that. I think they have the most history of like working towards this than any of the other three teams.
That's true. It's not a 7 or 8 year history like Jordan and Pippen and all that.
Right.
But it is more history than any of those other teams. That's for sure.
Yeah. So and that's but again, that could just be the homerism of being here and watching. Like if I watch any regular season basketball, it's because where I work and the TV is on and people are always running and putting the Bucks game on. So I know this team. So I don't know these other teams. I'm learning about these teams, but I know the Bucks.
But no, you're right. I'll back you up on it. Kawhi Leonard just got to L.A. 10 minutes ago. Trae Young is just got drafted a couple years ago. And was the other team, Phoenix, oh, please. Chris Paul just got traded there a half hour ago. So, definitely Milwaukee is the team that's got, more of a team, to it, more of a history of putting their team together.
Right. And and you've had Giannis and Middleton there for a while, but Drew Holiday is fairly new to that roster.
Right.
But the other guys, Brooke Lopez, he just all of a sudden just shows up huge every once in a while. Does it feel like an NBA champion? No, but none of these teams do. Someone's
going to
be it.
Exactly.
We'll see.
One of those teams will be a champion, whether they deserve it or not.
People were really down on Giannis here, not being like a big game guy because he, bobbled that ball in one of the early games in that series. But yeah, he still shows up.
You still want him on your team?
Yeah, he's like the human momentum change. I mean, when you give him that open lane and he gets those two steps basically from the foul line.
Right.
And throws it down on somebody. I mean, you want to talk about like instant, momentum.
No, it's been 15 years of LeBron being the most unguardable player in basketball. And I actually think Giannis is now the most unguardable. How do you stick that? How do you guard that?
You've got a guy coming at you who can take two steps from the 3-point line and throw it down.
Just throw it on your head. Yes.
Isn't afraid to go do it. That's always the knock on LeBron, is LeBron could have that lane, but he's going to look to pass out.
Right. He's always looking for the best play, not necessarily the most dominant play.
Right.
There's our NBA coverage for the summer until the finals start anyway.
Hey, I didn't crap myself.
Very good.
See? I told you, I was prepared. That just comes by function of having watched. There was that sort of sick fascination of wanting LeBron. I just like get him out, get him out. I wanted to see somebody new. I'm one of those like I appreciated that, and then also that what the Bucks put up on the Heat after what the Heat did to them last year.
Oh yeah,
and then the Bucks just sweep them out, and then there was one game they blew them out by like 50. Almost. So you had all these teams who dominated the bubble were sort of getting that, bubble warrior moniker put on them. Nobody's looking at last year at all as real because they weren't playing with the fans.
Right.
And these teams that were there last year in the bubble, like quick bounces this year.
And as a Bulls fan, it's always fun to see Jimmy Butler get the fuck slapped out of him. So I'm always happy to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to see the Lakers go out the way they went out with the injuries. But you could see that Phoenix was going to be game no matter how healthy that Lakers team was. Like, they, like, the Lakers looked slow and old, and Phoenix just, when they get running, man, they just start. That's that Western Conference basketball that I remember growing up, man. You just watch these Western Conference, they just run you out of the building.
That
takes me back to some of those teams.
Well, they got Chris Paul. That's sort of their missing piece, is someone to organize all that running. Because you can run up and down. You can beat the Sacramento Kings and just run up and down the court all the time. Doesn't mean you're going to be any good.
Right.
But you get a point guard that can actually organize all of that and find the right play in that momentum, in that transition, all the time. Always sees the right pass, always sees the right play. Boy, that makes such a big difference. So, yeah, that's their big thing, is they got the floor leader, and that allows Devin Booker to be freed up to just do what he can. And, you know, he's got no restrictions, and he doesn't have to worry about distributing, and he can just go and score. And, you know, they got the big guy in the middle that I was a fan of in college, DeAndre Ayton, the number one overall pick. And he's coming into his own, too, and that's a big piece as well. So, yeah, the Suns look – they look scary. They might be the champs, but any of those four could be the champs, because who knows at this point? Who absolutely knows?
Yeah, which is the fun. That's when it's more fun.
It's more fun for some people. For a lot of people, it's not, because, again, look what the rating's going to be. You don't have the stars. It's not as
it's a 2.6.
Fun.
It's a 2.6.
So, and for me, it's not as much fun, because I love seeing the best be the best and dominate. And, you know, the best got hurt and banged up and weren't able to come through. And it sucks, but it is what it is. So maybe hopefully they'll come back next year and be the best. But I just like seeing the best actually do what makes them the best. I don't know how much juice he was on, but I loved watching Alex Rodriguez all those years, because he was the best. And he took the field and showed he was the best. He may have been completely juiced out of his gills when he did it, but he was the best. Barry Bonds was the best. And when he came to town, I always tell that story about seeing him live in Chicago against the White Sox. He would come to the National League, so seeing him against the Cubs was not unusual. But I went to a game where it was the Giants visiting the White Sox in interleague play. So that was a rare opportunity for, you know, the Sox fans to see Barry Bonds, and he got to stand in there as a DH and just slug away and not have to worry about anything else. And that was such a big lesson for me to learn, watching that game, watching that series, learn what star power is all about, learn what performance is all about, and learn what really matters, which is what you actually do on the field and not all the other crap. Because the fans booed the fuck out of Bonds every time he got introduced. Probably the only player in Comiskey, USL, or whatever, that I've heard booed heavier than Bonds that night was anytime Sosa came back. And that's how much it was, that's how hard they were booing him. And so, boo, 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 all this noise, boo, boo, boo. And then finally, fifth inning, sixth inning, whatever, John Garland hangs a pitch, and Bonds hits it about 745 feet. And all the boos for about 5 seconds turned into, so all the boos just in that moment, when greatness was greatness, all of a sudden the boos turned into marveling at what greatness was. And then as he's rounding the bases, it went back to boo, cheater, steroids, boo. So it doesn't matter. All that Sturm und Drang surrounding everything doesn't matter when the greatness actually does what it does, because then everyone is marveling at the greatness. And that's a lesson that I learned when I was in my 20s. That it doesn't really matter. All the hate and all the other crap doesn't matter. When it's time to be great, people care about people being great. That's all that really matters. And I suspect the same would be true watching LeBron James in an NBA Finals. I suspect, which I've never seen that live, but I suspect it would be the same feeling in that arena. It would be a lot of booing, a lot of cat calls, a lot of hissing at LeBron James, until the moment that he got away on a breakaway dunk and showed that unbelievable athleticism. And then it would be a lot of,
Well, that's right. And so that tells you what we're missing from this NBA Finals and why it's also going to be a rating disaster, more than it would have been, even considering that the NBA has been drawing dismal numbers. But now they're going to be even more dismal, there's no villain.
There's no villain. There's no star. Yeah, there's no star at all. There's nobody to hate. There's nobody to love. There's just guys.
Right. So this is going to be, this will be a tough one. They're going to take it on the chin, but that's okay because somebody emerges from this. Now, you know, they can, now they're an NBA champion and now they can maybe be a little bit more of a draw. I mean, somebody will be exposed to a basketball team or a player that they don't necessarily know about.
Hey, I guess I'm out of those four, I guess I'm rooting for it to be Giannis and the Bucks because he's got the most star power left. He's the former MVP. He's the most, to me, unguardable player in the league. And if he takes it to that next level and then puts them on his back and carries them all the way to a title, would he have done it if LeBron was healthy and the Lakers were there? Hell no. Or a lot of other, you know, if the Nets were there,
if the Nets were
healthy, hell no.
Yeah. But.
But.
The part of the thing that you had to understand, I mean, we knew this could happen with the Nets, right? They're fragile. I mean, we knew that.
And they were just kind of pieced together. Just a star, throw a star. There's another star. Where? How many stars can we get? Just star, star, star. All the stuff that all those bitches complained about. Like Durant, to me, is just, I have no respect for him anymore. As great as he is, he's fucking awesome.
Right.
I'm not trying to denigrate him like that. But he was one of the frontline leaders when the Heat put their thing together, talking about, oh, stars, putting stars together. I don't like the way, you should be able to go out and just win. And if you're good enough, you should be able to do it by yourself. You shouldn't have to go and team up with a whole bunch of other guys. And then what's Durant done his entire fucking career since then? He's gone to team up with a bunch of guys. There's no honor in that.
If you can't beat him, join him.
That's fine, but don't talk shit about the guys who joined them first, and then you go and do the exact same
Correct.
Thing. That's bullshit.
Yeah. The league rules allow it. It's just like we could say with baseball defense, right? If the league rule, that's the rules, if you can do that, if you're not cheating, do it. You're just mad because you didn't.
Well, that's the one similarity to the baseball defensive shifts thing. People are trying to win. Why are you mad at people trying to win? That's the point. You're trying
they're not
to
cheating.
Win.
They're not like cheapening the game. They're not cheating. You know, they're not manipulating. No, if the NBA rules and the salary cap rules and all those things allow these super teams to be put together, there's always a risk involved in the super team because if you have these three great stars and nine bums on your roster, you better get the most out of those three superstars. Those guys better stay healthy. And what happened to the Nets? What happened to the Lakers? Those guys didn't stay healthy, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but they know that. They know that.
Right. There's the risk and the reward. And then both of the teams that you expected to be that team that was the super team, the health got them both.
But they're just trying to win. That's how you right. have to get the best players in order to win. That's how you win.
Hello? You play to win the game.
That's what you're trying to do.
But they both get that's the deficiency in that plan is when you don't have the stars, you can get beat by teams that are more well-rounded, which is what the Bucks and the Suns were.
Yeah, that's true.
And there it is.
And that's how you wind up with these four in the conference finals.
Yeah.
So
Anthony Davis and you know and Kyrie or whoever and all these guys, if these guys all stay healthy, they're probably going to the finals.
You got a hell of a better conference finals, I know that much.
Probably. We could have Lakers Clippers, right?
Yeah. That's what
we could have the
many
Battle
people
of
LA. Saying.
Yeah, you know, it's what they expected because we all saw that Clippers team was getting put together for one sole reason, which was to take on the dominance of the Lakers, and they don't even get the opportunity to bounce the Lakers.
Go figure. I dominated with the sports topics. Was there anything that you wanted to cover or talk about?
Yeah, you know, we never talked about my trip.
Oh,
for my anniversary, right? Because that was supposed to be the last show, which was fine. But I only want to talk about one part of that, which was my wife and I go in for massages. She sets this all up. We're going to go do this couple's massage, right? It's her anniversary. It's the day we're going to go home. And we go to this place sort of, it's in town, but it's not like on the main street. And it's a quiet day. It's like a Sunday or a Monday. And we get there. And, you know, you meet these two gals, and they're going to be the ones giving us the massages. And it's like, okay, that's great. And so we each go, and we got these, like adjoining rooms, you know, so we could, like, even though you don't actually see the person, right? If you've ever had a massage, your face is down in the thing.
Yeah.
And then I go in. My wife goes in, and I'm in there, and, you know, you're taking off your clothes. You're stripping down. You're getting under the sheet. My wife's telling me, like, oh, that thing that's above the bed that I was laying on is this thing now for where they have these people where they, like, hang on to these ropes, and then they, like, can, like, stand on you almost.
Oh.
And then, like massage you with their feet. And I'm like, well, you didn't pay for that part, right? So I just, like, this is just a regular massage. So, nope, that's what I got. And, just put this out there. I'm not a feet guy. Right? So it starts off normal, and I'm getting the normal massage, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's fine. You know, and all of a sudden, I like hear like this like clanging around. I'm like, oh, what's going on? It's like, oh, my God, somebody's stepping on the bed. You know, and I'm like, okay, no, this is okay. And then all of a sudden, it's feet. And I'm like, oh. And I just got this little round thing around my face, you know, and I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's on my back. It's like, oh, God, it's like cold and callousy. And I'm like, oh, no, it's feet. It's feet. It's feet. Then it starts getting up, like, by my shoulders and by my neck, and I'm like, oh, man. It took, like, everything I had. Just be like, I'm not going to – because part of me just wanted to be like, you know, get up and be like, you know, but I just,
yeah.
Oh man, I'm not, yeah, there's no Rex Ryan here. I was not, I was not for it. And, it didn't really, like, I'm not going to say do it for me, because that sounds like it's like in a, like in a sexual way. It didn't do it for me in like the way of getting a massage, you know, mm-hmm. Like I didn't walk out of there feeling like as refreshed. Maybe part of it was because of the, like, you're supposed to relieve tension with a massage, not create it.
That's exactly what I was about to say, was you didn't get any feeling of relief from the massage, when the massage getting your feet on you, because you're all tensed up because you got feet on you.
Yeah. And it's not like it's feet on like my back or my shoulder, although I think at one point she did something to my shoulder. She'd like dug her heel into my shoulder. I think it still hurts from then. But it's like, but then it's like, it's, you know, your head, you know, your face, you've had a massage, right? You know, your face is down in the little round pillow thing at the edge of the bed. And then that foot's just like right on the neck. And you're just like, oh, and I'm just like, oh God, I'm glad there was not like a camera right below me getting video of my expressions and reactions to this as it was happening, but it wasn't pretty.
Not that you know of.
No. Oh, yeah. Who knows? This might have been live streaming, and I would have no way of knowing it, but I was just, oh, yeah. So that was my experience of that type of design. Like, I mean, this, I can only imagine, cause she's, like, got to be hanging on to these ropes, and just, like, so I'm sure that there was, like, an acrobatic thing to it, but I would have preferred to have been asked,
right,
if that was what I wanted, you know, because I would be like, no, where do I sign on the form? That's no, just regular massage. Maybe you could like switch my wife and I, maybe she's not, you know, going to have this problem, and I'll take the other gal and she can just give me a regular massage. But yeah, that weekend back in May, a couple months back now. No, about a month ago. Jeez, it feels like a couple of months, but...
Right.
Yeah, it was only a little over a month ago, but it feels like it was a long time ago. I have no idea where time is going. I can't tell if it's going fast or slow right now. This last couple of years, there's things, it's like, those just happened, or wait, did they really? No, that happened a year ago. What? But then thing that just happened, I think happened a long time ago. So, yeah, everything is just all out of whack when it comes to time right now. But that was, yeah, That, you know, if you're, you know, if you're just not really like comfortable with that part of it, having that happen was just not, it wasn't fun.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I'm not a foot guy either. I think we feel the exact same, and we've never talked about it. I think
no,
we feel the exact
funny,
same
you know.
Way. No, I we you know we haven't talked to, about our you know sexual proclivities at all because
no.
We don't you know have conversations like that. But it sounds like we feel the exact same way about feet, which is yuck. Like I don't like feet at all. I don't
Correct.
Know. I don't know people how they have foot fetishes because I don't get it. I never have. I don't get down like that. Now I get a regular massage. At least I used to get regular massages before the fucking world ended last year. So yeah, and not once has that ever even been presented as an option. I don't know why or how that became a regular thing. I've never seen a massage office that has those ropes. If I did, I would be like, are we about to do some BDSM? What the hell's going on? I did not know that was a thing to have professional massages where feet are part of it. And I definitely never thought that it's something that people would do to you without asking your prior permission. That's like almost horrifying to me to think that that would actually be something that might be done. So no, I'm with you on every level. Like, no, don't put your feet on. Don't you even think about putting your feet on my body, especially not even asking my permission. Don't even think about it.
That's
don't
right.
even, have it on the form as an option. Cause that's not a massage. That's foot play. That's
a violation.
It's not a massage. It's just walking on someone's body. That's not really part of a massage to me.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me?
Which is it's just so funny because my wife immediately walked in the room, identified what that thing was, and I'm like, I've never heard of this in my life.
I think your wife has some explaining to you personally. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah. And then I had to experience
anything.
It. and wished I hadn't.
Yeah.
But
so she has apparently before?
I don't know. No, she just seemed to just know. And she goes and gets more massages than I do.
Okay.
But, yeah, this was – that did not have a happy ending.
In any way, shape, or form.
No. No.
You know what that actually reminded me of is a very rare time where my wife made me sit down and watch an episode of Sex in the City. And in this episode, I know, you know, we were bored. And in this episode, one of the characters, the Cynthia Nixon character, whose name I forget because I don't watch the show like that, the guy that she's having sex with decides to, in the middle of it, without her permission or without even asking her, decides to take it out and stick it in her butt. And it was a great camera reaction as far as the acting goes, because she really did look like she was being violated. And she's like, what the hell? Like, how did you think that that was okay to just do that? They made an episode out of, you know, talking about how did that become a thing that people think that it's just okay to just do, which, yeah, I don't know how you'd come up with that just without asking your partner's permission. I don't know how you come up with put your feet on someone in the middle of a massage without asking their permission either. I don't understand. So
yeah.
I feel your pain, man. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
If I signed up for it and I checked the box that,
right.
Cool. All right. I signed up for this. Let's go. I didn't. And then all of a sudden it's like something that starts enjoyable and then turns into, oh my God, when will this be over? Because then it's not just the neck. Then it's going down my arms.
Oh,
then,
really?
Then I've got, like, you know, you're laying there on your stomach, so you got your arms sort of, you know, out next to you and your palms up. Then you got this, like, heel digging into your palm.
Oh, my God.
And it was,
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
That is really weird.
Yes, this easily goes into the do not recommend. I'm not even going to pull it. I'm not even going to do your move and say, other than that, it was great. Which
it was
usually
just
the way
bad.
No, I yeah, we get out into the car, and I was explaining this to my wife, and I was just like, I started doing the feet, and no, it wasn't for me. So my wife, I was like, how was your massage? Oh, it was great. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, my regular massage therapist, I love her to death because she has these strong hands, but she still has a soft touch with them. But when she needs to really get down and use her muscles, she can, and she does. And she's great. Everything she does is wonderful. She's like 5'9", 200 pounds or something.
Sure.
I don't – not only is she not offering a foot massage thing, I don't think she should, because she'd hurt someone because she's not small.
Yeah, because
so I don't know how
that rope thing that you're balancing with breaks, you know.
Oh.
Now you're going through the table. Now it's WWE.
She went through the table. Oh,
I was about to say Joey Styles is going to come running into the room. They're
He's
dead.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I'm glad I at least got this in before the sniper, because I that's the one story from the last show that I didn't get to tell, which was the show when because we talked to Renard, and I mean, like you said, we talked to them for so long. We talked to them for a half an hour that didn't even make it on air.
Right.
So when it got to the chance for like you and I to actually get that, when they got off the show and we're talking, we're like, we're done. We're done. You know, so that's why I was like, that's the one story from the last month or, you know, month and a half or whatever since we've had our last regular non sequitur show that I had to tell that story.
I'm glad you told it so I could be on the lookout for any people that are doing foot massages.
Yes, next time you go get
back.
A massage, be looking for a rope. Not a it's not even like so much like a rope, like that's like what you think of like a rope hanging down. It's like a cross. You know, so it's almost, you know, like a drape. It's draped. Because that way, you know, I imagine that they've got their, like, both hands on it, and they're sort of, like, maneuvering around because they're literally walking on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then rubbing your feet on your neck. Oh, their feet on your neck.
And the palms of your hand. Ugh.
And the palms of your hands. That was just, like, and I can just, like, feel the cringe as it's happening. And I'm just like, oh. And then she gets done with the one side. You know,
yeah,
and then it's one of those like, oh wait, she's got to do the other side yet too. It's like I haven't had that bad of a feeling since the surgery, where you're sitting there in agony, you know, and it's like, okay, it's all over, and you're like, and the doctor goes, okay, now we got to do the other one, and you're like, oh God, no. I got to do that again. And that's how it kind of was with this, except without ball torture.
He's talking about his vasectomy for any new listeners,
yes.
By the way.
We had that. We talked about that on the show.
Oh, definitely. Had a whole
show
about
it. That was my brave moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, that was specific to that story. That really happened. And I'm sitting there and thought I made it through the whole thing because it was awful. And the guy goes, you hear this, you smell the burning as he's cauterizing things. And the guy goes, and you get that one moment to relax. You're like, it's over. And the guy's like, okay, now we're going to do the other one.
What?
Yep. That's how it was as soon as she got done with the one foot. I'm like, wait, she's got to still do the other side yet. And then the cringe just starts again. And you're like, oh, God, stop this, please.
So she walked on your chest and stuff?
No, not only on my back. I don't think I could have handled that at all face up. I would have probably thrown.
You threw the table yourself. Huh?
That's right. All of a sudden, the John Cena music comes on. That's right.
Can't see me.
That's right. I would jump up right, you know, knock her off and jump up and do that right, you know.
Oh yeah, no, I'm glad you got that in. I changed the show description just in time, so that I talked about how horrifying would it be to have feet on your back as part of your massage. Because that's pretty horrifying for people who aren't feet.
Yeah, you know, there's
like
somebody somebody's listening to this show right now, like, oh yeah, please, please, don't share.
ever.
Yeah. Please do not send that in much less detail at gmail.com. Keep those pictures to yourself.
Oh, please.
Rex, if you're listening, keep it to yourself.
There's something for everybody.
Yeah.
Just not for us.
Not for me. So, all right. I told my wife that I'd be done at 11, so.
Man, it's 11.
They're all sleeping in the next room over, so I'm sure I'm gonna get the nasty look in the morning about being too loud and keeping them up. So I did promise a show that was over at 11. So
we're done. We're in the after show. I don't have any outro music. I don't know how much of this is recording. But yeah, so that's a great time to be done because we don't know how much of this is gonna capture anyway. So. Yeah, about the only other thing I wanted to say was Shohei. I love him. I still love him. I will not stop loving him. 3-1, 2.70 ERA, 1.16 WHIP, 73 strikeouts. Oh, and 2.72 average, 23 homers, 54 RBI, 10 stolen bases, and a 1.005 OPS. Fucking A. Shohei Ohtani. He is the man. I will
that
not
team is
ever
going
stop loving that
nowhere.
Because it's not a one-man game. It's clearly a team game, obviously. But he's still great. He's still awesome. Okay.
And you were worried. You were worried that we wouldn't be able to fill 1 hour, much less two.
I'm never worried. I knew we were going to be able to fill all of that. I'm never worried. Believe me. I just wanted to make sure I didn't, you know, overstep you, or if you had something to add, because I could fill it up myself, really.
My only aim, I had to tell my one story. Other than that, we hit everything that was relevant to the moment. So I'm guessing we're coming up on MLB Hall of Infamy here soon, right? Do we do that All-Star weekend?
Whatever the Hall of Fame weekend is, which is not All-Star weekend, I think that might be in August. I think it's usually –
Yeah, we do it pretty
hovering,
close to the football one, too.
Right,
we do
it's
those
hovering
almost
around
back
the same
back,
time
yeah.
as the football one, right.
Now, who this year?
Shit, let me think. I think I'm baseball this year, I think. So –
That's so
funny. You would have been baseball last year. Do you remember doing baseball last year? I'm trying to remember my football from last
year.
It's
funny, we're actually going to just have to go back and pull up the show.
I'm going to look over my notes and see which one seems like I did it more recently.
Now, don't be worried. I mean, I actually have
The Wendell Davis tape of him fucking his knees up, that was me last year, right?
So
that would mean you football this year, me baseball.
Okay.
So, yeah, because I've been preparing my baseball. I actually know who my opener and closer is going to be for baseball already. So I've been preparing that one. Yep. All right. We will figure out the dates for that and come back at some point in July. I hope you enjoyed our crazy two-hour ride of sports kings of non sequitur, because we definitely went non sequitur in that show for sure. So unless you had anything.
No, I'm good. I'm going to get off the show and go to bed.
All right. Sounds good. Let's get our feet ready to massage each other, and let's just be glad that it wasn't Carl Nassib giving you your massage. So it could have been much worse. He is Jay. I am Dre.
He probably would have done a better job.
This has been Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of a much less detailed podcast. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you sometime in July. Everybody, enjoy your sports for the rest of the summer.